Have you ever promised yourself something and then gone back on it and known you shouldn't have gone back on it? And maybe you had physical symptoms as a result of this. Today on the Ask Dr. Gale podcast, I want to talk about chronic symptoms that show up as a result of self-abandonment, because I think it's a really important piece to understanding how our survival system works and how to maintain our vibration and our energy so that we don't do that to ourselves. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkelman. And today on the podcast, I want to talk about where in your life you betray yourself, if you will, and how your body keeps track of that. And I want to ask you, where in your life do you say yes to things when you mean to say no, or vice versa? And or when it, where in your life are you quiet when something inside you wants to speak? And it's interesting because I think that oftentimes we store this in our bodies. Our bodies keep track of every compromise in our system. And it's not a punishment, it's protection. It's how we ensure that we are following what is true for us. And what's interesting is, and you might have had this experience, what is true for you today may not have been true for you 10, 20 years ago. And it's important to understand that your truth can change. So it's not that you're not following your truth from 30 years ago. It's what is happening right now for you. What is true for you right now? And one of the things that's interesting is that a lot of times self-betrayal comes about because we have these ideas about how we're supposed to act from our upbringing, but then we've learned not to, you know, we've learned gone beyond that's not okay. But we still stay loyal to those ideas. And I think that this is really important to understand. That's not to blame somebody if that happens, because this is pretty universal. We are all loyal to a lot of things. And usually we're loyal to ideals that no longer serve us. And so self-betrayal is when you're not paying attention to that, but it's also ignoring your intuition. It's being silent about something that's true for you. It's staying misaligned in something or abandoning what you need for safety or belonging. And a simple example of that is staying in a job that you hate and you know is not the right thing for you. And you do it because of money, for example. And it's interesting how people compromise themselves as a result of needing or wanting money or feeling like, oh, I have to keep doing this until the kids hit a certain age. Whatever it is, that happens for people a lot. And or staying in a relationship for the same reason, staying in the relationship because of money, staying with a person because, you know, you're living together and you don't know where else you're going to go. I've heard that story countless times. And often it's an adaptation of a survival strategy. But our body records this, and it's important to recognize this. And, you know, we've learned things like don't be too much, be good, stay quiet, don't upset people. these were adaptive survival strategies sometimes when we were young, but they may not serve us anymore as we're adults. That is part of what self-betrayal is. Now, self-betrayal becomes biology in various ways. And one of the ways is that your nervous system stays vigilant because you're overriding a system that is there for a reason. And now I will say this is that sometimes our nervous systems are wired incorrectly. What I mean by that is you might have learned something as a survival mechanism that was actually unhealthy. And as an example, staying quiet, right? You might have learned to stay quiet as a way to survive a situation in your upbringing. And that may create more vigilance as well, staying quiet, as might speaking up create more of a nervous system flex, if you will, because it's not, your system isn't used to that. And so I think it's important to recognize that sometimes it can happen both ways, right? Particularly as you're relearning your patterns. Because as we're relearning patterns, sometimes our nervous system finds it really uncomfortable as we're doing it. And it's like I've talked about attachment theory on this show. So I'll use this example. If you're an avoidant and you're learning not to be avoidant, it will feel uncomfortable to engage with somebody, as a simple example. And understanding that self-betrayal can affect the biology, understand that as you unwind that, you're going to feel off in some way. So the other ways that that happens is your breath shortens, potentially your muscles are going to hold more tension, your energy is going to constrict, but mostly it's like your life force gets blocked. And your life force gets blocked, I think, because there's a vibration that drops, your vibratory level drops as you become less authentic to yourself. And that's just a law of nature. And this could show up in various ways. It can show up as fatigue. It can show up as brain fog, pain. We see autoimmune conditionings, anxiety, depression. This isn't a punishment. It's just because there's a split in the system. And by realigning things, oftentimes that helps bring things back into, you know, helps relieve the symptoms. And it's interesting. I've talked to clients about this, and one of them was like, well, how do I know this is happening? And you know that you're not necessarily being true to yourself because you're having symptoms. And it's not a blame thing. It's sort of like, okay, I know that as an example, my eyes are getting worse. That's because we can easily say it's because we're getting old. But I actually think that that's on some level a cop-out, because I've worked with people whose eyesight got better as they got older. And I think that a lot of the times there's a psychological aspect to it or spiritual aspect that's leading to the symptom. And so it's not about berating yourself. It's about understanding what you have responsibility for and then being able to make the adjustment. You know, once you do that, I think that you start to get to a place where you can become more authentic. And in some ways in that space, the symptom has less of an impact on you. But we'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to take a quick break. And on the other end of the show, on the end of the program, I'm going to tell you about the workshop I'm doing. And also, we're going to talk about what you can do about this. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And before we jump back into what we're talking about today about self-betrayal and how we somaticize compromise in our body, I want to remind you, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to me at gill@info@askdrgill.com. So one of the things I want to talk about is the energetic cost of inauthenticity. And when there's a chronic issue and a misalignment, this is where your life force gets drained. And there's lots of people I have worked with over the years who have done self-silencing, which has lowered their vibrational coherence. And this internal contradiction creates energetic friction. It's like trying to swim upstream. It's going to exhaust you, because healing really requires radical honesty. And I'll give you an example of a patient I worked with lots of chronic, autoimmune, chronic pain. And ultimately, they despise their life. They needed to change everything about their life. And we can argue about, whether it's their belief systems that was leading to the problems, or if it was their situation that was leading to the problems. But ultimately, they did do that. And they ended up leaving their job, leaving their relationship, and moving. Actually, they ended up moving to another location. And it was amazing how much better they felt after they did that. And it took 6 months, 9 months. I was working with them in Portland, and then we did telehealth, and their whole demeanor was completely different. And they became active. They started getting out in nature. They took up new hobbies. It was unreal what kind of shift it was. And the thing that struck me was, she said, I finally am being honest with myself about my life. Like, that's what she needed to do to take her power back. And I mean that on multiple levels. Like, it was draining her life force by not doing what she knew she should be doing. And I think that it's important to understand that this isn't, I keep saying this, it's not about blame. It's about taking responsibility. It's about having compassion, and mostly for yourself. And I think that one of the things that doesn't happen enough in terms of healing is forgiveness. And usually it's self-forgiveness, but it's also forgiving other people. And it's interesting, because I talk to people about this, and we all kind of give lip service to forgiveness. We'll all say, oh yeah, I've forgiven them. And there's really this mind-body split, right? And there's this, oh yeah, my parents were doing the best they could do. But there's a part of you, maybe, that's just like, yeah, they were really crappy parents, and I'm really angry. And I think it's important to acknowledge that and be honest with yourself about that, so that you can truly let go of it. And, I'm not saying to hold on to it, but you have to be honest with yourself about it. And part of what I am seeing is that oftentimes illness is kind of an initiation. It's the heroine's journey. It's not just that you have an illness. It's how do you go into the underworld, figure out where you've abandoned yourself, and come back and express the truth that needs to be expressed. And what part of you have you silenced? That's the responsibility. This is an opportunity to reclaim your vitality. And the gift that you come back with is your authenticity. because each one of us has a gift. I truly believe that. And the only way to find that is for you to go through the process. It's not done because you're listening to me telling you, oh, I think you should do this. It's you have to figure this out for yourself. So this is the gift gives you boundaries. It gives you voice. It gives you authenticity. It gives you purpose. All of that is within this. And by the way, purpose is not necessarily your job, right? I mean, I have to say that because that's the way we think about things in the Western world, particularly in the United States. My purpose is what I'm doing for work. It's not. Not always. And sometimes that's what you need to do. You need to find that purpose outside of work to be able to be like, yeah, I'm doing this job because it pays the bills. And it's not what my purpose is, but it pays the bills and it supports my family. And that's perfectly valid, right? If at least if that's your framework, that's perfectly valid. I think we've gotten tied into this idea of you have to do what you love all the time, and that has to align with your purpose. And I don't know if that's true for everybody. So now I want to invite you to do a few things. I want you to feel into where you feel resentment. Where do you feel exhaustion? Where does your body tighten if you say yes or no, depending on your situation? And if you were just a small, like a 5% more honest with something, about something, what would that look like? And understand that these small agreements, these small bits of truth-telling actually have big shifts in our frequency. And the main thing that you to make a shift to do is to do one thing, whatever that one thing is, and promise yourself to do it and stick to it. Whether it's walk every day, do yoga, meditate, it doesn't matter what it is. Eat better. You just follow it. You do it. And that is going to build the trust within yourself and the truth within yourself that's going to raise your frequency. So you know, what I would just want to say is that symptoms aren't punishment. They're just signals of misalignment. And that can be a physical alignment, but what I'm talking about today is that it's an authenticity alignment that may be, you know, or misalignment that may be causing the symptoms. And healing is less about fixing the symptom and more about how do I restore integrity to myself, to my soul. And I think if you can do that, in some ways, symptom becomes less important to you as you do that. So that's what I got for you today. Now, I am doing a workshop in March, and I will put a link below for the information. It's going to be in person in Hawaii on March 14th, and we're going to go through some of this about particularly about how your story creates biology. And I think it will be a good topic in terms of starting with a jumping off point. And I'll be doing other sort of pieces to this in a series. So that's what I got for you today. I hope you really enjoyed it. And like I said, if you have any questions or comments, send me an email and check out the website, askdrgill.com. Thank you so much. Take care.